We reward people for their efficiency in building our civilization. And family is antithetical to that because we don't squeeze as much productivity, right? And so for me, coming full circle, the one thing that I had, that I discovered was the fact that in order to be a good family man, I would have to sacrifice my American dream and my value system within the broader American narrative and the broader American context and go, no, this too is a greater, this is a kingdom value, and the kingdom value is greater, right, than the American value.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Best View in Town podcast, where we try to help you have a more hope-filled perspective, tap into your purpose, and find encouragement in whatever you're walking through. I'm so grateful that you joined me for today's episode and super excited about my friend Reward Sibanda that has joined us today. First of all, he has the coolest name and the coolest voice, so it's really a great setup for a podcast already. But beyond that, a really good friend and someone who's making a difference. Reward serves as the advisor for church and community relations at World Vision. So some of you will be familiar with World Vision, child sponsorship agency that rescues children from poverty and makes an impact around the world. Reward's very involved in that. And up until just recently, he was one of the associate pastors at Upper Room there in Dallas, Texas. And if you don't know much about Upper Room, just an impactful ministry, a church and worship movement happening there in Dallas, and I've been deeply blessed by their worship and all that they're doing there, so I definitely encourage you to check that out. But Reward talks a little bit about his story coming from Zimbabwe and some of his perspective on family, on life, and I really think it's going to challenge and encourage you today. Before we get into the conversation, you know, this season I've been giving you one fun fact on the beginning of each episode, and today's fun fact is when I was a young man, I played Little League Baseball, and after our team went undefeated 4 years in a row, we were interviewed on a local news station there in Mobile, Alabama, and I was asked if I wanted to be a professional baseball player, and right there on television, I said, actually, I might try to stay in baseball when I get older, but I really want to be a preacher when I grow up. It's funny, the news commentators made a comment that night on the evening news that Bo Jackson out of Auburn University had just become a professional football and baseball player at the same time. That's the first time that ever happened, even before Deion Sanders. And in doing that, they said, well, Bo Jackson's doing dual sports. Maybe one day we'll have a preacher in the pros. And again, I didn't keep my end of the deal. I didn't stay with baseball, but I have gone into full-time ministry. So that is very funny. I put that video clip on the Patreon page, patreon.com/NathanWesleySmith, if you'd like to check that out or help support the show. Well, let's take a look through the kaleidoscope today and focus on the light instead of the broken parts and see the beautiful story God has brought together through Reward Sibanda's life. Well, this is a blast. I'm getting to sit down with Reward Sibanda. First of all, cool guy with the coolest name. So I know you're in Texas, Reward. So is Sibanda, is that like North Texas, South Texas? Where is Sibanda from? Right. Help me out
that. You know, man, it's in this unique spot, like right in the middle called Zimbabwe,
Texas. I got you. Okay. Yeah. So originally from Zimbabwe, right? Yes, tell me about that for a second.
Man, it's been a journey, man. I'm about 20 years here, but I'm still opening the door the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? Driving on the wrong side of the road. But it's truly been a journey, man. I have loved whenever you shift cultures and you kind of go from the African culture, which I know you have a lot of your work has taken you around the world. Very communal context, and then you kind of come into the Western context, which has an emphasis on the individual. The circles, man. The concentric circles are much smaller. So it's been an adjustment, but man, I've grown to love the people deeply, man.
Well, you're amazing, man, and I know people love you. And Reward, for the people that are listening right now, and they first of all, they love your accent and your voice, and they love your name, but they may not know a lot about your ministry. You're there right now. You've been with Upper Room in Dallas,
yes,
and you've done a lot with some other things. So, speaker, teacher. Mm. world traveler, podcaster, author, and just all around good dude. But Reward, tell us a little bit about what God's had you do here recently, and then we'll dive into some more details. But what's life look like for you right now?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Man, it's been I've been so blessed and honored to have had such an interesting path, right? But I think everything that I do kind of rallies around three distinct things. Everything else is just a variation of what that looks like. I think the first is, man, I just love the local church, right? Yeah. Whatever that expression looks like. I love, it's the most powerful institution that God has graced us with.
Come on.
And right, for kingdom advancement. So that was my context at the Upper Room. I'm like, man, I got to give myself to a local church. I got to serve the local church. And then the other thing that I love is the global kingdom, right? The global churches, as they call it. What is God doing in a lot of different contexts? And so for me, World Vision became that avenue to where I was like, because I'm the senior advisor for church and community relations. Mm-hmm. So my job, man, I have the best job in the world. I get to sit down with pastors, have conversations around their missional philosophy, their missional strategy, see what God is doing with them. And if there's any alignment, right, with that, with World Vision, then I'm like, hey, we would love to serve you guys in this capacity. I know you do a lot of great work with Compassion, phenomenal organization that works through the local church in a lot of international contexts. And so that's the second. So there's a local church, and then there's the global church. And then I just love communicating, man. My style is teaching, because there's something that happens when people get a concept, right, from the Lord, and you see the lights come on, and you know that their life is forever going to be changed in that particular capacity. And I say that with humility, not necessarily that I, right, but I'm just talking about the whole concept of teaching is phenomenal to me. So what I've found, that everything that I'm doing that God is in that brings me joy in life, will always kind of, either I'm speaking somewhere, or I'm sitting down with a pastor somewhere, or I'm serving a, or my local church context. Yep. And yeah, so that's where I'm at.
It's amazing, man. And it was so fun. I didn't know. So we'll back up, and I'm going to tell a bit of how we know each other. And it really stems from, well, first of all, we just got a chance to be in Charlotte, North Carolina together for the Ignite Movement Conference. And I can say firsthand, Reward, you are an incredible communicator, not just in your content, but just your heart for Jesus, your heart for people. And my favorite context point for that is the way we met was about 8 years ago. So it's been a while, dude.
That's okay. Right.
The locks were a lot shorter back then. I just want you to know. They're looking good, but they were a lot shorter. I was pulling up photos, and we have a mutual friend, Andreas Kisslinger, who has actually been on last season's podcast, and one of my dearest friends. And he invited our family to come to the lake, and we were headed there. And he's like, "Hey, my buddy Reward is in town."
Yeah,
I'm sure you often get, like, you know, say his, what is his name again? Like Reward. It's an incredible name. What a beautiful name, dude!
Wow.
And so we were like, okay, yeah, well, let's do it.
Yeah.
And we all spent the day on the lake with our mutual friend Andreas. And so I've got me, my three kids, my wife. At this time, you're not married. You don't have any kids at this point. And so, here's what I want to say. I had never met you. I didn't know you, didn't know anything about what you did or what your ministry was. But you made the most incredible impact on my kids, to the point that every single time we saw Andreas or we would go to the lake, they would always start talking, "Man, do you remember that day we spent with Reward? He was the..." And they just go on and on. Here's why I bring this up. It's not to make you blush, although that is kind of fun. but I bring it up to say this.
Yeah.
I think it was Maya Angelou, and I'll probably butcher the quote so someone can look it up and find it exactly. But to the effect, she said something similar to, "People will forget what you said, and people will forget what you taught, but people will never forget how you made them feel."
Man. And
bro, you made my kids feel like $1 million to the point that they still talk about the day on the lake with Reward. And so, Reward, I wanted to say that one. I want to honor you with that too. I want to say, my favorite contextual point for our relationship is I didn't learn about your ministry or your amazing teaching gift or your incredible work with World Vision. I met you and you made my kids feel amazing.
Wow.
And that is what made me love who you are. And I believe this to be, man. I think it's the father's heart in general, man. If you'll love his kids well, man, he will love you well. So dude, you're one of my favorite people because of the way you made my kids feel. So you have to just sit here and listen to that.
But it's such an honor for two reasons. Number one, you know that lovable things are lovable, right?
Come on.
The way you've raised your kids, man, the way your dynamic with your wife. And I still remember we had conversations after with Andreas, and I was like, man, I want to raise my kids like that. Oh. I want that type of family. So you guys like really redeemed the image of God in marriage context. And then just you have the most pleasant, I mean, the funniest, the smartest. And so that was the easiest impression I could have ever made, man.
Well, dude, you're kind to say it, but that is the context for how we met. And then we were reconnecting at this conference and I got to hear you teach, and it just impacted me so much. And Reward, you know, you've been all over the place speaking, teaching, some of that with World Vision, some of that with, man, just God giving you grace and opportunity. You were recently, in the last year or so, you were there with John Mark Comer and was contributing to some of that. Let's talk about that for a second, man. That's pretty cool because, man, these are some deep thinkers that are really impacting the church.
No, absolutely, man. I love those guys. Like John Mark, I mean, those are the modern day, right? Future fathers of spiritual formation, and not necessarily because of their brilliant minds, right? Or their leaning to the Lord in a lot of ways, but I think their lifestyles, which are given, right, to practicing the presence of God everywhere that they go. Yeah. It's you would think, right, at some point, if you've been blessed with, right, I mean, the level of success in his writing, in his thinking, in his communication, and if God has graced you with the thought process. But no, just the humility, man, and the love for God and for people. That, I mean, they it truly is something. It truly is something what they're doing out there in Bridgetown. So there's a pastoral cohort called C-Rock Sessions. So how it started, I think there's like John Tyson, John Mark Comer, Darren Rounsend, up in Taylor Stanton. Like, so all of those guys, in a sense, were just friends. And they were friends for over a decade. Like Todd Proctor is a part of that. And then they were just like, man, the greatest gift that God has given us is the ability to walk out ministry with friendships and the accountability that comes from that.
Man.
Like Dave Lomas out in San Francisco. And so they were like, hey, let's do this. What if we created a cohort of people who are like-minded around the seven C's that gather around these convictions, like charismatic, contemplative, contending, just a lot of that. And let's see if it resonates, right, culturally with any pastors. And then let's bring them on a journey for 6 months to where every other month, we go to a different city. So Bridgetown, where John Mark was.
Yep.
And then Church of the City, where John Tyson was.
Man, heavy hitters, dude. I mean, just powerful, profound teachers. Gosh.
Yeah, thank you. And so that's what the cohort became. So Todd Proctor, he's over Alpha Church Strategy. So we partnered on some things. He's like, man, I feel like this would be your tribe. So I got involved then. And then after I was like, hey, come be on the steering team. And I've been on that ever since.
Amazing.
But that has graced me with incredible friendships with men, some profound men of God and thinkers that really humble me that I get to walk with them. So that's what that was. And from there, John Mark, we just developed a really, really cool friendship. And he was like, hey, I feel like you've got a unique perspective when it comes to prayer or fasting. So he just invited me to be a part of his podcast and to
How
do some
cool,
lives with them. It's been fun, man.
Reward, really, that's amazing, dude. And honestly, you know, that's a big part of what's marked you, at least in this season, as you've been there at Upper Room Dallas. And so there may be some people that aren't familiar with Upper Room Dallas. And so talk about that and then a little bit about, so why is prayer and fasting? Why is that something that's so important to you?
Oh, absolutely. Well, Upper Room Dallas is, it's a worship community. Let me put it that way. It's a church, right?
Yeah.
But what happened is it organically grew out of a desire for encounter and pursuit. Mm-hmm. So a group of people just started meeting together. Michael Miller and and Larissa, our pastors, and then they were just like, man, we're just going to go after God. And then more people started coming and more people started joining. And it was, at first it started above, there was a vet's office, and in the room above it, the upper room, was where like all these young, back then it was millennials, would come and meet. And just faithfully go, can we pursue the Lord, right, based on what the scripture says? And then afterwards, like a community deconstruct, right, what just happened and the experiences. Mm. And obviously that had deep resonance with a generation that was going, yes, we want the experiences, but we also want to deconstruct this in the context of community.
Right.
So that happened, and then just organically started growing. More people came, and then those people who started meeting other people there, then they started getting married, and then they started having kids. At some point, they were like, man, this is our church. This is our community. This is where it happens. So it just organically came out of that. But I think where God really graced the upper room, and people may know it for, is just from a lot of worship. So So what it is Monday to Saturdays is just morning, noon, and night. People come in and they just in pursuit of the Lord, and then worship anthems are born out of that. Like that surrounded song, it might look like I'm surrounded. Yeah. So that came out of organic moments. And then we've released some worship albums. We did something with Mav City as well. And it's just been an incredible kind of worship and pursuit community that's kind of spawned out of that. So that's where I was the associate pastor up until about a year ago, and I did about. So now I just kind of stayed on as friend of the house, taking the culture to different spaces, and just kind of on the teaching team as well.
Yeah,
communicating that way. And so, yeah, that's the upper room, man, and that's what I call home, and that's been the journey right there. So.
What a beautiful thing to get to be a part of, and yes. You know, you talked about people, millennials and Gen Z, and everybody connecting in that, and then getting older and getting married and having kids, and you did a little bit of that over the last little bit, man.
Tell me a little bit about
your family, bro. I mean, catch us up a little bit on the Sabanda crew.
Absolutely. So, yeah, man, we're 6 years in.
Yeah.
To the most blissful years of my life, man. She really was my good thing, you know? And out of that union, man, we have our firstborn son. He's 6 months old. So a lot of newness, a lot of discovery. His name is Silo, which in Zulu means lion. And so, yeah, man.
The cutest
little boy you're ever going to see, man.
That's amazing, dude. So it's you and Pam, right? So 6 years.
Yeah. So me, Pam, and Silo, that's the family.
It's a beautiful thing, dude. And
For real, man.
There's nothing like it, is there?
Oh, my goodness. Listen, man, I'm over here. And before I was just like, all right, you know, it's all this. Now anything to do with fathering. It's like, hey, I want to read all the, like, I listen to podcasts. I read the books. But I love how it beautifully takes over, like, everything that you are, right? And then you suddenly realize the responsibility that we have.
Yeah.
Where it's like, man, we are called to raise. It's the book of Malachi, right? What does God require of you? It's like godly offspring. Yeah. The main reason he brought us together. And I think there's such a resonance too, because even though I'm African, right? Identifying with the Black American demographic, which in itself, the indictment on it is it's such a fatherless generation, right? Mm-hmm. Through systemic injustice and all sorts of cultural evil. So I have just seen the beauty of going, man, this was a blow by the enemy, because there's nothing greater than the joy of a cohesive family unit and raising your kids up, right, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Yes.
And then just the beauty and the rewards that kind of come out of that. And so I felt like a part of our redemptive call for Pam and I is to model that well.
Yeah.
So that Black America can look and go, well, there's beauty in that. There's virtue in that. Because that's not what a lot of our communicators and our entertainers and our prophets are saying. So,
yeah. Well, and obviously it touches every ethnicity. It touches every community. Some Absolutely. More intense than others, you know, to Absolutely. Your point. But, you know, I don't know if you're a Mark Sayers guy. I love Mark Sayers.
Yeah, I love Mark.
He wrote a book years ago called Strange Days. And in that book, Strange Days, he talks about many wonderful things, but one about the power of family and how in a hyper individualistic society, yeah. we want to distance ourselves from that because right. it makes me feel tethered. That's I'm right. not able to do my thing or whatever That's that exactly means. Right. As if people are happy. All right, let's just talk about that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you know, yeah. we don't want to be restricted. So, but the truth is he was saying that's one of the beautiful things of family. God did it because it yes. innately
yes.
be selfish is you. Is that good English? It takes the it selfishness. Is now.
That's exactly right.
I'm from Alabama, so you know I don't have to have great English. But so it really pulls the selfishness out of us,
That's
and
right.
it's a gift to us. Some would yes. say, "Oh man, I'm losing so much." Oh man, no. what yep. do you gain? And, you know, I believe that this is something that's going to be part of the forerunner generation because
yeah.
you know, what you mentioned, the book of Malachi, the prophet Malachi, and then we look at the book, we look at John the Baptist, and what it said of him is that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And reward, I mean, this is so cool. This is a great conversation because you yeah. working with World Vision, yeah. working with in places of poverty where yeah. the need, especially in providing for children, that's a big part of what World Vision is about. And yeah. my best friend in the world, Mike Weaver, who leads a band called Big Daddy Weave, they have sponsored thousands and thousands of kids through World Vision through the
right.
years.
That's exactly
so
right.
I'm a big believer in child sponsorship and the work of World Vision and Compassion and others. But this is a unique perspective in that you've worked in that space of bringing awareness to caring for children around the world.
Yeah.
But now you have your own. And yeah. What has that done as you've thought about, obviously you care, you wouldn't do the work you do with World Vision if you didn't
That's
care.
Right. That's
but
right.
Now it's a different thing. Talk about that for a second. What has that dynamic been like?
No, absolutely. I think as we all know that responsibility, right, is the foundation to maturity. Right. We are only as mature as the things that we're responsible for.
Come on.
And what I've noticed is with that said, America specifically is a younger civilization. A lot of the immaturity that we see and a lot of the value systems that we've crafted speaks to the contribution that people have in building a specific society. We reward people for their efficiency in yes. building our civilization. And family is antithetical to that because we don't squeeze as much productivity, right?
It's not efficient. Family is not efficient.
That's exactly right.
Right.
That's exactly. And so for me, coming full circle, the one thing that I had, that I discovered and I had no grid or framework for was the fact that in order to be a good family man, a godly family man, I would have to sacrifice my American dream,
come on,
right? And my value system within the broader American narrative in the broader American context and go, no, this too is a greater, this is a kingdom value and the kingdom value is greater, right, than the American value. If ever you do those things right now, you're going against the grain and we as the church have our work cut out for us because our whole role as church is redemption, redeeming yes. the image of God in everything, including family dynamics, right? And so
absolutely. Yeah. And the family unit is mm-hmm. that on display everywhere. And, mm-hmm. and God did it that way because it is so tangible, it's so local, it's so in front of you. We recently had this past year, we had an exchange student from Mozambique living with yeah. us. He did his senior year, and we got a chance to have some of those fun conversations. My Portuguese is not perfect, but I speak fairly good Portuguese from yeah. my travels to Brazil, but Mozambican Portuguese is a little different. And so we would talk some, and thank God his English was a lot better than my Portuguese, but in that got a chance to get some of those perspectives because it's always beautiful when cultures come together and we get
that's
a chance
right.
to
that's right.
learn from one another, reward. That's some of the unique, that's some of the uniqueness of the perspective you bring is wow. that you have that background from Zimbabwe. What have been yeah. some things, two or three, just maybe off the top of your head, things that have been, you're grateful for that African perspective because it helps you see things in the American culture that we can just miss because it's normal to your average American person. Are there any things that just stick out, come to mind quickly?
Absolutely, man. I'll even just go ahead and kind of recast the framework for you. Right, the greatest, I think the greatest benefit or virtue of maturity is perspective, right? The older you are, the more you understand things, right? Yes. The more mature you are is just like that. It's like, if for anything, the value add for growing older is I just get to understand things more and see things better. So and true. Most of the times we, right, come full circle with our immature selfishness. And without anyone ever telling us, we're like, man, that was so immature.
Right.
That was so selfish.
We know it instantly.
Yeah, but, yeah. I wasn't as cool as I thought I was. And that's just you coming full circle, right? Yeah. With a different lens. And so what I would say is Africa is a much more established civilization when it comes to the human experience, right?
Yep.
It's older. So the people, and when you look at it, the things that are valued, like family, right? Like togetherness, like why instead of capitalism, why the social philosophy can be something like Ubuntu, which speaks to the universal worth, the individual worth of a human is found in their contribution to the greater good, right?
To the community.
Yeah. And so what I've noticed, my father and my mother and my brothers, my sisters would sit together. Mm. And at the end of the day, we'd kind of, the table, the value of the table.
Come on, dude. Anything on the horizon for you and with the ministry reward, anything that we need to know about to be excited about in the days ahead for you?
Actually, just yesterday, we got an offer actually from Waterbrook, and just to kind of write a book on prayer and fasting. Wow. And so, yeah, I'm really, really, really excited about that. I love Waterbrook. I love the people that they publish.
Yeah.
I love their investment and lean into what spiritual formation looks like for the next generation. So for them to be gracious enough to be like, hey, we feel like you have something unique and we'd love to kind of do that. So all that to say, I'm excited writing this book. It's going to be out here in a couple of months. So keep me in prayer.
Yeah.
Because I truly believe that when it comes to fasting, it is a lost art and one of the most beneficial things that the church can kind of do. So that's one of the things that are on the horizon, which I'm ridiculously excited about.
Oh man, that's going to be amazing. And I can't wait to, we'll definitely be letting people know about that book when it gets put out. And I'm excited that you're going to be doing it. Reward, there's a couple questions I'm asking in this season of the podcast. At the end of each interview, someone hit you with these real quick before we sign off. And
let's go.
Here's the first one for you. So what is one thing that helps you gain perspective when you feel overwhelmed? All right. So this podcast is the best view in town. It's about getting a more hope-filled perspective. What's something that helps you? Because all of us get popped in the face from time to time with life.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's easy to get our head down and man, just wonder, what's something that helps you gain perspective when you feel like you've been caught off guard or a bit overwhelmed?
Man, this is going to be the most let down, anticlimactic answer you have ever had in here, man. But It's Star Wars for me, man. It's Star Wars cartoons. Here's what it does for me, man. It has this unique bicameral value to it, to where it completely decontextualizes me from whatever I'm going through. But at the same time, it speaks to the adventure and to the scale of the assignment. And it's just, I don't know, man. It just does something. So I've seen every from all the cartoons, which are like my favorites, the canon, and then all the old stuff. I don't know, man.
I love it, dude. When life gets hard, turn on some Star Wars.
Boom. There it is.
There you go.
And at the end of everyone, you'll be like, all right, it's not as bad or as big as I thought. You know, so.
Bro, this is the practical wisdom that I need. This is so good. I love it. So on a more serious note, let me ask you this. We gain perspective for our life and we look at a lot of things you're talking about, a lot of things you do in your ministry.
Yeah.
We try to get that bigger perspective. What do you want the people closest to you to say about you when you're gone?
Man, dude, that's a beautiful question, man. You know what? I would even take that and remix it and say, for me, just thinking about it, I don't even think the value would necessarily be the what, but that whatever they say is true, right? That whatever they say is true. You understand that when you kind of exist within three worlds and you communicate in different contexts and you're in a lot of different things, you get a residue out of all of those things. And after a while, right, my worry then becomes, okay, is that, I feel like if your kids say, that's work dad and that's home dad, you're in trouble, right?
Come on,
dude. And so for me, my greatest desire is that whatever they say, they're like, oh, that's him, right? If he watches cartoons at night, you know what I'm saying? Star Wars, he can say that from the pulpit. He can say that in a business meeting, the integrity of what that looks like.
Yeah.
I think so. Whatever that is, I just wish, my prayer is that they can say it anywhere and everywhere and never feel like they're embellishing or compromising or diminishing or anything.
I love that, man, because that really just speaks to authenticity and consistency. Wow.
Yes.
You know, I think it was Henry Cloud that wrote the book Integrity. It impacted me deeply, where he talked about, you know, the word integrity comes from the word integer, which is a number that cannot be divided. So, like,
that's right.
One, not one and a half, three, that's not exactly 3.7. Right. And so, if we're going to have integrity, we've got to be a cohesive unit working together. And that's what you're talking about, being the same person in each space and it being true. Reward, dude, thank you for your time, man. Thank you for what you do for the kingdom with World Vision and what you've done at Upper Room and what you're doing in speaking and teaching. And super excited about the book, and I pray grace on it, man. Excited for you. Appreciate you, man. Thank you for what you do. Thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, brother.
Man, so great just to have some time with Reward to catch up after some years. And we had reconnected there at the Ignite Movement Conference that we referenced. And last week had Skylar Farley on the show. He was helping host and put on that conference with their ministry. And man, just was so special. And you know, I thought Reward brought so many amazing perspectives out as it related to just cultural things, both in the United States and then from his native Africa and Zimbabwe, and just how those perspectives are helpful to see things in a new light, especially as it relates to the value and importance of togetherness and family. And I just want to encourage everyone that's listening today, whether you're a single person, young adult, married, older single person, it really is irrelevant. At the end of the day, what's important is that we really place a priority on personal relationships. We all know that you can have a million followers on Twitter or on X, as it's called now, and not have anybody to have coffee with. You can have a million friends on Facebook and be lonely. At the end of the day, what matters is who are we in personal relationship with that can put a hand on our shoulder and say, man, I hear where you're coming from. And look, we all know relationship takes a lot of effort. I'm not in any way pretending like it's easy or, you know, just add water and instantly you have friends to hang out with. What I'm saying is we have to place a priority on it so that we make room in our life rhythm to make effort in that direction. And I would just say this, be willing to be the one that has to reach. And if that's hard for you, that doesn't make you a bad person. It just means that we've got to value it enough to make the effort, because truly, Psalm 68 verse 6 says, God sets the lonely in families. And I do believe this, God wants us to do life together. Our lives are more enriched when we do them together. We are less selfish. We're less self-centered when we do life together. And I think it's so important that we make an effort there. So whatever you're going through, wherever you are today, I want to challenge you and encourage you. Be the one that's willing to make the reach. And whether you have a natural family, a spouse, children, or whether you're part of the family of God, or you feel on the outside of all these things and you're looking for this, I want to personally invite you into the family of God through relationship with Jesus and into the local church. So if I can be a resource to you in any way and help you do that in the greater Charlotte area or wherever you're listening, I will definitely do what I can to be a help to you. So just reach out info@thebestviewintown.com. And I'd be delighted to be a help to you in any way that I can. Well, thanks so much for listening to this episode. There's information of how to connect with Reward in the show notes. And that's just below the image on your podcast platform in the text there. A little more info about his ministry, who he is, and how you can connect to him. And some articles from my blog or some videos that would help you get into this content a little further. Listen, God's for you today. And so am I. Let's continue to fix our eyes on Jesus and have the best view in town from wherever we're standing.